Welcome to the latest edition of Auto Insider, where we're talking cars, car dealerships, and mostly crap about both. I don't know about you, but I think we're about ready to get started.
Good morning, Dad. How you doing?
Good morning, handsome. I'm doing well. I understand we have a guest today.
Yeah,
thank
goodness. The reality is,
yes,
the podcast is titled Auto Insider.
Yeah.
You're, I guess, an insider based off of your 43 years of experience. I'm kind of just tagging along. We had to actually get an auto insider on the show every once in a while, right?
Well, I think we should.
I think we should, too. So we do have a guest today, Julie Blackley from iccars.com. Julie, you want to say hello?
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Yes, we are super excited. So if you're not familiar with iccars.com, you should be. It's an awesome research website, and you know, we're just thrilled that Julie could be a part of the Auto Insider podcast today. Julie, you mind giving us a little background on where you're joining us from, the company, your career? You're in charge of communications, right? A communications manager?
Yes, correct. So I am the communications manager at iccars.com, and iccars.com is an automotive research firm and search engine. And as you're viewers and listeners know, the buying a car process is very difficult, and we were founded to help make that process easier. So we use big data analytics to help consumers find the best cars at the best price, and we aim to bring transparency to the used car buying market by using over 2.5 billion data points that help analyze, score, rank cars to help consumers find the best deals.
Wow.
Wow, it's right.
I mean, I think of you, Dad, and I think your head is big data, but it sounds like they've got maybe a few more machines behind the scenes working.
Well, you know, where she said 2.5 billion
yeah.
data points,
yeah.
I'm thinking I got maybe 1.2.
1.2, yeah.
Yeah, total.
Not billion, total.
Just 1.2.
So, Julie, so iccars.com is, I mean, I don't want to be foolish here, but it's a research and search engine, right? So it's similar to some of the other players out there, but you try and take this angle of being more data driven, right?
Right. So we pride ourselves on having the most data out there for used car shoppers.
Yeah, and I think that focuses on used cars as well, which is really important. So, you know, my dad and I wanted to get Julie on the podcast because, I mean, the team over at IC Cars is constantly producing some of the best research in the automotive space, and research that you're not going to find elsewhere. Research around the fastest and slowing selling, you know, used cars. The research that we're going to really focus our attention on here today is the change in used car prices that we've seen in the, you know, the most recent month of August. And just awesome resources there that we can't speak highly enough about. And so, Julie, let's dive in, I guess, into the most recent publication. I mean, this just came out like earlier this week, right?
Right. Yep. On Monday, we launched this study. And as you and your audience is aware, there's been a ton of news out there about used car prices in recent months. So they've kind of seesawed a little bit. In the beginning, they were down. And then recently, we were hearing that they were up. So we decided to do this study to see, you know, what exactly the impact has been from the coronavirus and which cars are the most and least affected by the price increases.
Well, just looking at some of the numbers, it's astronomical what some of these price increases have been when you look at some of these vehicles. I mean, just looking at a Land Rover Range Rover Sport, up 8.9% in just a really short period of time. I mean, most people wouldn't think of that happening hell in a lifetime, let alone in just a few months.
Right. Yes. So we found the average vehicle has a price increase of 4.1% between the month of July and August. And our findings showed that luxury cars and some sports cars and some pickup trucks seem to have the highest increases. And that could be because of the demand, which is in the case for pickup trucks. But to your point about the Land Rover, I mean, the used Land Rovers aren't in like the highest of demand, but it's more the fact that the audience that are buying those cars, you know, they aren't necessarily shopping around and they aren't as affected by, you know, the pandemic, and they're able to buy these used cars at high price points without having to, you know, really be bargain conscious.
Are you suggesting that they have more money than brains?
I mean,
Dad, she's a communications person. She can't say that.
I'm sorry.
To each their own.
May I take that comment back? From a retail perspective, I would suggest that perhaps they have more money than brains. But from your perspective, that would not be the case at all.
They might not be as reliability focused and, you know, deal conscious as some other consumers. So I think that's one way to put it. People love Land Rovers and Range Rovers, and they're commonly leased vehicles. So there are a lot of them that come off lease, and people probably look at the used car prices and compare them to the new car prices because, you know, they depreciate a lot. So they may think that they're getting a great deal by seeing, you know, the price tag relative to its MSRP and, you know, buy it because they want a Land Rover.
I'll never forget when I was helping to run Acura North Scottsdale in outside of Phoenix, Arizona. It was a large complex there of 11 dealerships, and one of the dealerships was our Land Rover store. And I took a current model year Land Rover down there to have the Land Rover manager appraise it. And, well, I nearly had a heart attack when he told me how much it had depreciated in a year. It was just amazing. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And, you know, I found it really interesting when I was reviewing the study, the kind of disparity in price points amongst the cars that increased in price month over month the most versus the few that decreased in price most month over month. So, for example, you know, in the research that you all put out at IC Cars, we have obviously, you know, the Land Rover, Range Rover Sport increasing 8.9% from July to August. But on the other end of the spectrum, we had the Chevrolet Sonic and the Chevrolet Spark, two vehicles that on the used car market are barely five figures, you know, around a $10,000 price point that actually decreased in price from July to August of about 2% or a little more than 2%. And I thought that was super interesting because as we think about the macroeconomic conditions of this COVID world that we're in, you know, you'd think that the people that might need used vehicles would be on that lower, you know, threshold. And so, you know, if demand goes up, then you would expect, if supply is steady, then that price would go up. But we saw here that prices actually went down. And so it's really, I found fascinating to look at, because then there's the Porsche 911 in there as one of the other cars that has decreased in price. And, you know, the price of a 911 is insane. So it was just really interesting to try and understand what could be influencing why these vehicles are either increasing or decreasing in price month over month.
Right. And we ran another study a few months ago about like demand for cars, and we looked at it by vehicle segment and by price point, and we saw that vehicles under $10,000 were the price point, the only price point that had gone up year over year. I think we looked at it in May. So it showed that people more than ever, and it makes sense, that they're looking for lower price used cars. And specifically, there was an increase in subcompact SUVs. So I think in the case of these cars with the price decreases, the Chevrolet Sonic is about to be discontinued. So a lot of these are lower price, but they might not be the most in demand vehicles compared to the other lower price cars out there. So that could have something to do with it as well.
Yeah, but the thing that I find amazing is when you look at that top 10 list of cars where the prices have gone down, you know, if you take out the Porsche and you take out the GMC Yukon, I mean, realistically, these cars are $17,000 or less.
Hey, Zach here, one half of Your Auto Insider. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. We really hope you're enjoying it. If you're interested in learning more about Your Auto Advocate, check us out at yourautoadvocate.com. We have some really exciting things going on that can help you during the car buying process. For example, Deal School was just launched. This is a 50-video, 6-quiz series, about 2.5 hours, that walks you through the process of negotiating the best car deal possible. Get access to things like Deal School and more for free at yourautoadvocate.com. Okay, let's get back to today's episode.
And so that is pretty much in the what I would consider to be the affordable price range for used cars. And you would think there would still be a real strong market for that, especially in this COVID world of ours.
Right. And I think because these shoppers are more bargain conscious, they're looking for, you know, more affordable used cars. They're going to notice, you know, the price increases, and they're going to shop around for the best deal. So that could be why the pricing is staying relatively competitive compared to, you know, the more expensive vehicles out there.
Yeah, but that I guess that would probably be the case. Yeah.
And it was super interesting, Julian. You know, one of the questions, actually, let me ask a question before I dive into what I find interesting. What was most surprising to you and the team as you compiled the data and as you put together the report? Did anything kind of stand out to you and you said, huh, wasn't expecting to see that? What was that aha moment that you had as you were looking through the numbers?
Right. So this was a unique study that we've done, obviously, because we're in unique times. So typically, you know, we do some of the same studies over and over again. And, you know, you get a sense of the trends. So depreciation, you know what cars are going to depreciate more. And since this study was unique, I really didn't know what to expect. I think I would have expected more pickup trucks to have the greatest price increases because we're hearing so much about, you know, the increased demand of pickup trucks. But that wasn't necessarily the case. Although as a segment, pickup trucks did go up the most in prices, but no pickup trucks cracked the top 10 list. So that was one surprising. To your point, the Porsche 911, how that ended up in the list with the greatest price decreases, that was surprising. And the fact that there were, I wasn't expecting to see as many decreases. So I thought that, you know, the average car was going up, but I didn't think that there would be so many that had prices actually going down. So that was surprising as well.
Yeah, all similar sentiments that I had as I first looked through the report, and in particular, the pickup truck note. So, you know, my dad and I, and you may have seen this on the YouTube channel, we just filmed and recently released a video talking about the retained values of, 3-year retained values of different vehicles and which ones have the highest retained values. And a lot of the top 10 list are pickup trucks.
7 out of 10.
7 out of 10 are pickup trucks. And we all know that the demand around pickup trucks is just insane, both on the new side, which obviously there's not enough supply on the new side right now because of what's happened with coronavirus, and on the used side as well, which again, not enough supply and there's a huge amount of demand. And so when you put out the table in the report of the most popular vehicles, and the number one most popular vehicle is the Ford F-150, and the fact that it only, and I say this kind of tongue-in-cheek, but only appreciated 6% month over month, that was really surprising to me because I put it into, you know, it's juxtaposed by a Dodge Challenger that had a 9% increase. And I'm thinking to myself, Challengers can't be more special to people than an F-150.
Could it be that maybe the increase in price of the pickup trucks is not as high as you would think because they've always been higher than they should have been?
Yeah, that's an interesting point. And also, the Ford F-150 is so popular. You see them everywhere. There are probably so many, and there are so many in the used car marketplace. So because of the supply, you know, the demand might not be as high as opposed to other vehicles. So I think that has something to do with it. But yeah, I think because pickup truck prices tend to be higher on the used car side, that's definitely a good point that they didn't go up as much.
Yeah, at a certain point, they can't keep appreciating any more than they are because, well, hell, at that point, they would become worth more than the new ones.
Well, Dad, I think it's actually really interesting, like the Raptor variant of the F-150. I mean, there are myriad stories. You can go on forums and talk to peers and people that have Raptors. They'll buy a Raptor, they'll drive it, and they'll be able to sell it for pretty much what they paid for it new. And I think it is, to Julie's point, there's maybe an oversaturation of like your base model F-150s, but when you move into more specialty vehicles, trim levels, you know, you'll see that the price fluctuation or the appreciation or lack of depreciation is there. And it's also kind of further reinforced by the fact that the F-150 wasn't the greatest appreciating month over month in terms of pickup trucks. It was the Nissan Titan, which I haven't looked at the production run numbers for Titans versus F-150s, but I feel very confident, without having looked at the numbers, that there's more F-150s being produced than Titans. And so, you know, we see the Titan market maybe being a little bit more supply constrained than a F-150 market.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Julie, one other thought that comes to mind, and I know my dad and I have been talking about it, and I know people that, you know, write us in or comment and on our videos or on the podcast. If you're in a lease and you were thinking about, wait, I might be in like a cash positive position, this study kind of helps you understand, like, oh crap, I am in a Dodge Challenger lease. I don't think the captive lender, when they created that lease contract, had the residual value of whatever it is. Like, this study for me kind of highlighted the fact that a lot of people out there could be, in the month of August at least, you know, who knows what's happening now in September, but could have been in these really positive cash positions.
Yeah, that is a good point. And also, yeah, the people that have these cars to trade in are also in a good position as well.
Yes, trade-in values have never been higher. It's... You know, we still have a lot of friends that are in the business and are buyers for different groups, and what they have to pay to get inventory is just absolutely crazy, because they're paying on a wholesale level, they're paying retail, and then retailing above retail. It's just absolutely nuts.
So, Julie, were there any kind of takeaways or prescriptive things that you and the IC Cars team had? Like, were there any assumptions for what comes next in the used car market? I mean, we can't imagine that prices are going to continue to keep going up, or can we?
Right. I think, you know, there was news that you shared earlier this week about wholesale prices are starting to come down. So I think right now the used car prices are at record highs, but I think eventually they're going to come down. And I think the Hertz bankruptcy, they're going to be releasing a lot of used cars into the market. I think that's going to have an effect on used car prices. So I would assume that while prices are high right now, if you can hold off on buying a used car, prices are likely to come down in maybe the coming months. But at the same time, if you need a car right now, there are still deals out there, so do your research. But overall, I think now is a great time to trade in, and maybe buying, you're not going to find as many deals as normal. But again, do your research, and they can still be out there.
So now's a great time to trade in and then use public transportation until prices come down on the used cars.
Yeah. Or buy a Mitsubishi Outlander. Not on this list. That's another iccars.com report. The slowest selling car.
Yeah.
The Mitsubishi Outlander.
Yes. That could be the solution. You could make Mitsubishi happy, and you could be saving some big dollars while you're at it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, Julie, maybe can you foreshadow or share with us a little bit, you know, if someone's listening to the podcast, they're thinking, okay, this data stuff is right up my alley. What other reports are back at iccars.com, or what's on the, you know, the horizon that people can get excited about? Because obviously here at Your Auto Advocate and on the Auto Insider podcast, we love this stuff. We eat it up. We see it as our responsibility to
share.
I'm going to continue this terrible analogy, eat it up and digest it and then share it with others. But you know, what's on the horizon, or what other reports should people be thinking about if they find this type of content interesting?
Right. So for starters, I love your enthusiasm, and it's great to hear people as excited about data as we are. So if you go to our website, front and center, we have like a studies section of our website. So we put out multiple studies a month, and we have some that we put out every year that are very popular, like our longest lasting car study. So every year we analyze the cars that are most likely to last 200,000 miles or more. And that's something that always generates a lot of discussion and people get excited about. And we're in, as I mentioned, you know, a unique situation right now with the coronavirus. So we're looking at, you know, the effects that it has had on the car market. So we're hearing that people are keeping their cars for longer than ever. And we plan on doing a study about like length of car ownership. We do a lot of depreciation studies. You name it, we analyze it.
Well, bless you for that. Somebody's got to do it.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. We've got a lot of interesting things that we'll look forward to reporting out when they become live, and maybe we'll even get a chance to have you back here on the podcast or on the YouTube channel or something so that you can share this with the masses. It's really awesome insights.
No, I'd love to come back. This has been wonderful.
Great. All right. Well, Dad, I think we've covered our bases. How do you feel?
I feel like I just stole second, and I'm thinking about maybe going for third.
I'm really intrigued by their longevity study in the sense of like 200,000 miles. I wonder, like, could you walk or like run 200,000 miles? Like, am I just like exercising too much and I'm even thinking about that? Maybe
I'm just trying to make 200,000 days.
Yeah, 200. That's a good one. All right, Julie, thank you so much for joining us today. It's really been a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks, Julie.
All right, till next time. Thank you.